Welcome to MTMP News at 5.
And these are tonight's top stories.
It's not sacred. It's no longer secret. Soaking. The loophole that allows you to stick your penis in something and still make it to heaven has gone viral.
It's even been covered by BuzzFeed, the New York Post, and ABC News.
How has the church responded to the attention? By completely ignoring it and announcing 13 new temples.
That's how many minutes a Provo bro can soak before he starts to cramp up.
Fun fact, Russell M. Nelson has announced 83 temples since becoming president of the church less than 3 years ago.
83? That's more wives than Joseph Smith and Brigham Young had. Oh wait, no. Combined, they had 95 wives.
And that's not a joke. That is a fact.
It's a fact. Sad. Gross. In another nightmare for the church's PR team, the Church News wrote that President Nelson taught members via broadcast in Kansas and Oklahoma that, quote, the Book of Mormon is not a historical textbook, end quote.
Which is surprising considering members from primary all the way up the first presidency have been testifying that they know the Book of Mormon is true while sustaining a prophet who doesn't.
Well, Lena, you should know that in the church, historical and true don't always mean the same thing.
Oh, that's right, because it's historical that Jesus was a Middle Eastern hippie with dark features, a gullible stepfather, 12 bros, and perpetually dirty feet.
But according to Elder Holland and Mormon lore, it's true that Jesus is a clean-shaven white man who needs the money from people living in poverty to invest hundreds of billions of dollars in shopping malls and pharmaceutical companies while maintaining a tax-exempt status.
Oof. You know what's also true? It's that just a few days later, the Church News changed the article and removed the word historical. So now it reads, President Nelson said the Book of Mormon is not a textbook.
Well, no one can rewrite history better than a rich white man.
And no one can gaslight millions of people better than the Mormon prophet.
And who's the only living person at the center of that Venn diagram?
Russell M. Nelson.
It's more than a podcast. They're more than best friends. It's more than an hour of laughing and crying and then going back to laughing again. It's more than a podcast. They're more than ex-Mormon. It's the More Than Mormon podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to More Than Mormon. We are here. We're back. My name's Lena.
And my name is Meg. And it has been a minute.
We missed you.
We have missed you.
It has been just a hardcore minute. Meg took a long freaking move all the way to the east.
Mm-hmm.
And I have just been basically in this exact spot doing homework.
You've been doing more than homework.
Looking to go.
You've been doing other things.
I go to births. I help people bring their babies into the world. So I guess I am doing something.
Yeah.
But you know.
But you've been in the same spot geographically.
Yes. I have stayed in Utah.
Bummer. I was, so I'm in one of the like ex-Mormon groups on Facebook. And there was a post not that long ago where someone was like, oh, everyone should say like where they're from so maybe people can meet other ex-Mormons close to them. And so many of the comments were like, I'm in Sandy, Utah, sad face, or like, I'm in Provo, barfing emoji, or like, unfortunately, I'm in Salt Lake City. Like,
that all sounds about right. Yep, I don't think any of us are really happy to be here, but you know what? We're alive. Despite the terrible air quality in Salt Lake, and we are here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it's gonna be for a hot
minute.
And
there's more of you every day. I feel like the ex-Mormon community in Utah is massive.
Totally. It is massive, and I don't think people are even realizing just how massive it is. I almost feel like if I don't pay attention to Utah politics, if I avoid things like Deseret News, I basically forget that I'm in like Mecca Mormon state territory. Like I just kind of forget. But that's also because my circle no longer includes those like really catty, judgy Mormons. And that's probably helped.
Probably.
Note to the wise, my friends, if you have toxic people in your life, please cut them the fuck out.
The more you know. I do feel like when I've been to visit you in Utah, when I was a member, Utah felt very Mormon because I was like, I would usually stay with you, but I would like visit all my mission companions and they would want to like go to the temple or go to like FHE or those kinds of things. But then going after I left the church, other than wanting to buy alcohol on a Sunday, there was like no, it really didn't feel that Mormon.
Yep.
That was the only thing that Isaac mentioned that I was like, oh, and then we'll just go get drinks. And he was like, no, we can't. The liquor, there's not, you can't buy alcohol on Sundays. And I was like, at all? And he was like, yeah, Mormons. And I was like,
oh. At all?
Oh, they're really ruining it for us.
If we weren't so broke, we would have ran to the liquor store tonight, because at the time of this recording, tomorrow is Halloween, which is on a Sunday. And in Wisconsin, I have a memory of, I'm totally sidestepping. I just like saw that happen, like as the words floated out of my mouth. In Wisconsin, I have a distinct memory about being in the Manitowoc area and people celebrating Halloween. Like, I don't know if it was based on like cities, counties, blocks. I don't know. But they like the entire week were trick-or-treating. And it wasn't on Halloween.
So I don't know if it's just other places, but in Wisconsin, at least, like the different cities can set their own like trick-or-treating hours. And so people will like look them all up and they'll go to multiple. So it'll be like, oh, this city you can trick-or-treat on Tuesday from like 4 to 7. And then in another city, it's like Wednesday from 5 to 8. I have never
in my life, until being in Wisconsin, I've never in my life seen that happen. Halloween was always Halloween, and it was one day only. And then I come to live in Utah, and it's a thing here, and people argue about it. And it's so bizarre. I was upstairs, and I didn't hear the doorbell ring, and Isaac is like, you missed our first trick-or-treaters. I'm like, no way. I mean, we ate all the candy we bought last week, so we have to go get more. But just where my brain was going is we would have picked up alcohol and new candy, but anyway, I'm digressing. They're already trick-or-treating, but tomorrow night we're going to set up our little fire pit, and we're going to go get like marshmallows and stuff like that, because we imagine that most kids in our neighborhood probably won't be out super late, especially because Monday's the next day. So if they want to come and like roast a marshmallow and, you know, take some candy, we don't have a lot anymore, but... That's as good as it's gonna get this year. But I just think it's so weird. Like, I was a Mormon in Wisconsin, and this Mormon thing is happening. It's the first time I'd ever seen a trunk or treat. And then all of a sudden here in Utah, it's just like, bam, right there. And it's weird, because I think if I were to ever go back and visit Wisconsin, I don't know if it would feel Mormon to me. Like, I know that doesn't make sense, but like, all of my memories tied to Wisconsin are Mormon. And so I don't know, it's just like so weird. I think about all the Halloweens in like my past.
You know where like every Mormon chapel is in Wisconsin?
Oh yeah.
If you went to any other place, I like could, you wouldn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I could totally go and like just stop by any trunk or treat I wanted and see ward member. Like, that's just weird. I don't know. This is so sidetracked. That's so bizarre. But one thing that did happen over the course of this little break is I, like the date of my, the anniversary of my mission return passed last week on October 22nd. And I was like, ooh, man, that's fucking weird.
So I think my brain was I like also psyching. Had one of those because I went through the temple on October 15th.
Oh, snap.
Yes, October 15th, 2016. Hello to all my fellow Tabithas out there.
Oh, hello, Tabithas. In Mormon and the Meth Head podcast, which if anyone listening wants to go back and listen from the beginning to end, they should. It's not active anymore, but Aaron Woodall is a comedian, and he was at the time going through a divorce, and him and his wife got married in the temple, and because he didn't want people to like go and harass her, he changed her name and picked her temple name, which is Tabitha.
Wow, another Tabitha. Another
famous Tabitha. Although I like you a whole lot more than the Tabitha I have in my head when I listen to that podcast, but that's neither here nor there.
Listen,
sorry, it's not... Tabitha, if you happen to come across this. It's not that you're a bad person. It's just that
you were introduced to be the
ex-husband. You were kind of a dick at the beginning.
Yeah.
That's fine, though.
I think, you know, Tabitha's, you don't get to choose to be a Tabitha. It's like your astrological sign. It's just given to you. It's
just given to you.
And with it, I'm a Taurus, a Tabitha Taurus.
Oh.
Oh my God. Someone that's into astrology, that's also ex-Mormon, should make some kind of chart where you can track your Mormon name and your astrological sign.
If you want to know what I'll be doing when I cannot sleep.
Because you know people are like, oh, I'm like a rising, like a Capricorn sun, Pisces.
So you
moon,
have to do it like the day you were baptized, the day you got endowed, and like if you've been sealed or whatever, like the day you got sealed, and then you can like put it all together. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Y'all, if you're listening, you need to help us put this together, because
somebody needs to take what we're doing and like run with it, because I don't have the time. Because
we do not have the time or energy, and as much as I think I do as we're talking about this, there's no way in hell we can add another thing onto our plate.
But it just would be so great if you went to like an Exmo like gathering, and
you go to like the next Thrive conference,
Tabitha, and they're like, oh,
you have like a little name tag on your chest.
They're like, oh, so you're stubborn and you bring shitty things to the potluck.
You're like, yes, never fed us bad food, and you always brought good stuff to potlucks.
Thank
and you,
you
always made
and when...
it as well. Yes. It was never just like random store-bought crap that you took to church and pretended it was you, like literally everybody else. Actually, that may not be true. Not everybody else in the YSA, but just like in general.
There was many a time when Relief Society President Jay, who you know who I'm talking about, she would be like, yo, during second hour, the potluck spread looks thin. Here's my debit card. Go to the grocery store. And I would leave during Sunday school and go to the like little pick and save that's up the street. And get like a dessert, a salad, some fruit.
Give Relief Society,
you know,
President Jay, a round of applause, because that is how the YSA had to function in a nutshell. It was one person, maybe two or three, recognizing that no one else participated, and everyone else is expecting everyone else to participate. So everyone's going to be there. So in the very last stroke of the clock, someone must run on a Sunday.
Yeah. And that's one of those like spirit of the law or letter
my
of the
God.
Law things, because letter of the law would be like, don't shop on the Sabbath, but spirit of the law is like, people are here and they want to be fed, and there's investigators and there's less active members, and it doesn't look good if we only have two soups that me and President Jay brought
a
soup.
Talk about
and then, like,
the letter
it.
Of the law, spirit
and
of the
then,
law thing for a second. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but my head just went there. Long story short, everyone has heard about the Gabby Petito murder case. Yeah? Okay. In Moab, in the body cam footage of the police officer talking to her, this motherfucker, if he is not Mormon, I will eat that sign. Because
okay, whoa. Don't make promises you can't keep.
Or if he didn't grow up in a Mormon home, because now that I'm like saying it like out loud to you, like I can't remember everything, but he uses that term. He's like going, he's in the back. He like went back to his car and he is trying to figure out if he's going to give Gabby a charge, if he's going to give Brian a charge, how he's going to separate them. They end up determining that Brian is a victim and on tax dollars sent him to a hotel so he can separate from Gabby. And he is trying to decide. He's like, well, clearly she, you know, she's the one who, you know, kind of like instigated it. I mean, she even kind of admitted it. And, you know, I'm just trying to figure out what the spirit of the law is and what the letter of the law is and what I should do. He doubted that the van belonged to her just because she was a girl and he never ran the plates. He would have known the van belonged to her. He tried to tell her that anxiety is like the devil or something to that extent. Don't quote me on that last one, but very similarly. Anyway, just a complete asshat. And then he tried to tell Gabby that cops who make mistakes in these situations are the reason Utah has like this special like domestic violence law. And I'm like, I hate patriarchal Mormon men.
Of course Utah has,
because the cops can't do their job.
Domestic violence law.
Anyway, you saying that just like hardcore trick, like my the hair on the back of my neck fucking stood up. Sorry.
Well, the whole thing with like spirit of the law, letter of the law is there's no, like, it depends who you ask, which is more important. Because I think we can all, like, take a look at the current, like, apostles in the church and pick which ones, like, guess who? Like, put down the ones that would say spirit of the law.
Letter of law.
And put down the letter of law. Like, you know, it depends on the person. And I think that's where a lot of the issues come up in, like, missionary companionships and in, like, bishoprics and presidencies. Because everybody wants to be like spirit of the law, right? Like, I'm obedient. I do what God asked me to. I fulfill my calling, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, people are people and people recognize the importance of like the spirit of the law and, you know, doing good for the sake of doing good, even if you have to like fudge the rules a little bit or stay a little bit longer at someone's house when you're visiting them on your mission, or let people into your missionary apartment.
President, it was cold.
Or whatever
outside.
It is.
It's Wisconsin. Always cold.
It was cold the first couple times, and then it became spring, and then it became summer.
And depending on who, I mean, I am sure still Sister chilly. H got cold a couple of times during the spring and the summer. You get a little wind.
Oh, absolutely.
A tiny little thing like her.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
She is a sock hanging on a clothesline, just blowing in the wind.
We love you so much, Sister H.
In the best way possible. Yeah, I think on my mission, I swayed back and forth between spirit of the law, letter of the law, like sort of depending on like who my companion was and how bad my depression was, those kinds of things. But I think outside of my mission, I was always the spirit of the law kind of a person. Like, you know, especially like at BYU. I
don't know. Oh, like, all the time. Totally.
It's just so hard to be in college, to be in, you know, surrounded by people who come from all these different Mormon backgrounds. And you have those roommates that are like, we're going to have family prayer in our apartment every night at 6. And then you have those roommates who are like, my family only goes to church on Christmas. Like, I had to start going to church so I could get a recommendation to come to school here. There's that you just kind of have to be like, we're doing our best. And as long as you're not, for the most part, as long as you're not doing like the big honor code violations, people will just like let you do your thing. Mm-hmm.
I recall having a investigator who we were working to help get baptized come to state conference. That's what it is, state conference. And my mission president was going to speak at the state conference. And he told me in an email the Monday prior that he wanted to meet our investigator. Now, we will call her Kay. And something you should know about Kay is she absolutely marches to the beat of her own drum. And that means people in the ward had to basically go into her house, drag her out of bed in her pajamas without her hair brushed, sometimes without shoes, just to get to church. And that was pretty usual. That was kind of how it went. And this stake conference Sunday was no different. And we tried so hard. I like regret trying to encourage Kay to dress church appropriate, because it doesn't matter. You know, like, the spirit of the law would have been that God wanted his heavenly, beautiful, earthly princess to come to church and partake of the gospel. And it wouldn't have mattered to him if her hair was brushed or if she was wearing a nice pressed outfit or not. But I knew that my mission president sure as hell would care. And was this presidency? The look on his face. Mm-hmm. The look on his face. It literally makes my stomach hurt because I can still see it. He had like these crystal has. He's still alive. Thank God. Has these crystal blue piercing eyes that just stare right into your fucking soul, and not in a nice way. In a very intimidating way. And his eyebrows just went up.
Mm.
And I knew how disappointed he was in us as missionaries, because it was our job to teach her how to be a Mormon correctly. Right.
Because there is a right way.
I believe she got, because there is a right way. Exactly. And if you're not a Mormon in the right way, you don't go anywhere in the church. I was actually talking to a friend about this last night. He was like, you served a mission in Wisconsin, like, you didn't go to a foreign country. And I'm like, nope, they don't send cute missionaries to a place like that. Like, they send someone like me to Wisconsin. And we've talked about that in a previous mm-hmm. episode. And, you know, it's the same kind of thing. Like, we would always announce like new convert baptisms and stuff, like in the like newsletter or whatever that our mission president would send out. And if Kay didn't make the cut when we sent in her picture, because her hair was all over the place and she had woken up, rolled out of bed, and came for her baptism.
They just didn't put her in?
They did not put her in. And they did not tell us why. So I am assuming, I could be wrong. If President C is happening to listen and he knows exactly what I'm talking about, I would love to have an explanation.
Wow. I can't imagine either of my mission presidents not
if
putting
I someone. Had her permission. I don't have contact with her. I'll show you a picture, Meg. I'll show you, and I think you'll understand. I feel like such an asshole. Like,
no, she was so sweet. I get exactly what you're talking about, because I think this is so specific. If anyone's listening to this, this is very specific to me and Lena and the YSA that I lived in and she served in. But
here's the thing, you guys, we have not actually had the chance to talk like one-on-one real time
in like 2 months
since the last time
yes,
we recorded,
which was a couple of weeks
the last
before
time you the saw last her that was the last time yes. I saw her.
So the vibe of people coming into this YSA branch, which was so small, and like we said, like, you have to put, it's not about revelation, it is about choosing people to put in callings who will do the job and who will represent the church well. So people come into this little branch that like needs help, that like is like the island of misfit toys. There's just a
absolutely
like a constant
yes.
overturning wheel of young Midwestern Mormons, a lot of them converts, who are just a little quirky and they're just a little eccentric and they're really reserved, or they're really outspoken, or, you know, one thing or another. And the callings in the branch do not go to whoever would be best suited to them, because the big callings, you know, and when you're a Mormon, it's like, well, every calling is important, you know, and there's
every they give you that spiel immediately, mm-hmm. and they even give it to you in the temple when they describe the 12 oxen holding up the baptismal font. They're like, you see, if we removed even one of those oxen, cue mm-hmm. the tears.
If we didn't have someone to print the baptismal out font would not our programs hold
itself up. If we didn't have someone to wave hello and welcome, everything would just fall.
So to if pieces. You entered this branch and you have a job, a car, a decent set of social skills, you're okay with having a little bit of responsibility with like speaking, you know, teaching, going to meetings, you show up for things,
giving
you
rides, come
to every activity, those kinds of things, you're gonna get Elder Scrum president, you're gonna get Relief Society president, or presidency, Sunday school presidency. Those are the callings you're gonna get. So I joined this church, and my very first calling as like a convert, like fresh out of the font, I almost said the womb.
Well, technically you are true, reborn.
Fresh out of the very wet public womb, I get the calling as greeter, which is like people come in and you're like, hi, good morning, and you just kind of chat it up. And I excelled at this calling because like I'm a pretty social person. I really enjoy having a task, like having a responsibility and like completing it.
And in the YSA, you just kind of stand in the foyer and chat it up, and when people come in, you
and
just
after super easy. After I had been there for a month, like 4 Sundays and maybe a couple of activities, I like, it's such a small brand, I knew everyone, you know what I mean? Next calling was like second counselor in the Relief Society presidency, because
there was no moving up the ladder for like, you. They were like, she shows okay, up. She's obviously too equipped for this position. We must upgrade her.
It really is like, she shows up, she has a testimony, you know, she does the things we ask her to do.
Yeah.
Because it's a job. Totally. You don't get paid, but it's a job. And that's the kind of thing, I don't remember how I got onto this subject, but that's the kind of thing where, so you were talking about having a convert like that, you know, I don't know this person that you're talking about, but I can imagine, you know, as a missionary, when you're teaching someone, if they're going to be a convert that is just a baptism and they're your friend and you love them, or if they're going to be a convert that like the ward really loves and embraces and they're gonna like do well and excel as
you already know.
You know, like the first time you meet someone. And there are so many conversations I had with people on my mission, like other missionaries, we would be like, oh, they would be such a good Mormon. You know what I mean? Like, or there's like a really great family in a ward and you're like, oh, they're just like the best. And of course it's like the mom is this president and the dad is this president and they have 4 sons and they all went on missions and like they all do the things. Because the Mormon church really relies on like people showing up and doing the things for free and bearing their testimony like while they're at it, you know? Because I was never called as like bathroom cleaning coordinator. Although that is important.
This YSA branch, this YSA branch gave someone a calling who wasn't even a member, which is like a no-no, but because he came every single Sunday and they thought giving him a calling would encourage him to maybe take that extra step, it never did.
Yeah. Till this day. Well, and can I say what the calling
was? And I'm very grateful for that.
Was like emptying the trash after church.
Yep. You're so important to us. We love when you come every single Sunday.
When you take our trash out.
Also, will you take the trash out?
Yeah. And he did it. Great guy.
And he did it willingly and happily. He was a great guy.
Again, not dead.
I'm assuming he's
not. I don't think so.
I would be very distraught.
Saw him. I saw him maybe like in 2020. So, as recent as that, as far as
we
know.
he really kind, hardworking, very honest, very sincere, which is why he never got baptized.
Yeah, because he
told us, it's like, when I know for sure that it's true.
Because he would never do something that he wasn't 100% on.
He was like, he's like, I'm just not 100%. Like, I've got a daughter. I can't just, like, be willy-nilly hopping in a font, you know? Like,
in the public wet womb.
I need to make sure. In the public wet womb. Exactly. So, fuck. G.
Yes.
Actually, I think it was a J. J.
Yeah.
If you ever come across this podcast, you are a badass. Right. Cheers to you, my friend.
Stay out of the church, to homie. You.
Yes, don't go back there. Stop taking out their trash. As a matter of fact, light it on fire.
I don't think he does that anymore. Please. I think he stopped doing that a while ago.
I really hope not.
But he definitely did it really for a while. When did your mission end? 2016?
15.
2015. So.
I know!
So. Yeah, I think he maybe did it for a year or so after your mission ended and then phased out. Stopped coming. Well, of course, was still meeting with missionaries because he's kind and wise. And
I can't tell you how many. We would go there at least once a day. We would catch him like maybe once or twice a month. But we would go there once a day because
somewhere to go.
We had nothing else to do. And if he answered the door, we could count it as a lesson and talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Thinking about missions in general, but like things that I did on my mission, the way that I thought on my mission, sometimes it just really catches me out of nowhere. I'm like, wow, that was fucked up. Because the other day I was driving here in Massachusetts, where I live now, just like from work to home, not thinking about Mormonism at all. And I was on a street and I thought this would be a good street to tract because the houses were like far enough apart that it would take a while. And they also looked like a little bit,
pinpoint.
A little bit like a poorer,
a little bit grungy, a poorer neighbor. Kinda.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, exactly. I was like, oh, this would be good. I was like, there's probably some Hispanic families on this street, which like when I, because I serve Spanish speaking, but stateside, I could spot a Hispanic family home 2 miles away. I was like, I would be on, what's that called? When you like have a different companion for a day.
Exchanges. Yes,
I would be on exchanges and they would be like, oh, we have these, you know, Spanish speaking people that we want you to come and see while we're on exchanges. And then they'd be like, and also like, you know, we want to try contacting people while you're here and you could like speak to them in Spanish and do the spiel and like connect them to the Spanish speaking others, because all we can really do is just like give them a card. But you know, so we would like specifically, and I'd be like, not the house, not the house, not the house, that house. And they're like, okay. And I would be right like 90% of the time because there's just things. And
just how it is.
Yeah, so the other day I was just driving and I was like, wow, this would be a good street to tract. Obviously not going to tract it. Obviously not going to tell the missionaries to tract it, but it was just such a weird thing that my brain was like, we know how to do this. Like,
you're like, okay. Right. Like, all right. Yeah, just like automatically like went into mission mode without even like occurring to you. You're like, okay. Yeah.
Well, and I listened.
That did remind me.
The other thing that's weird about brains, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but.
You're good. I won't forget train of thought.
The other thing that's weird about the brain is like, because I served my mission Spanish speaking, like obviously when I speak Spanish or hear Spanish, that's where my brain goes, because I was speaking Spanish like 75% of the time on my mission and I speak Spanish like 0.001% of the time now. I listen to podcasts in Spanish sometimes just to like try to keep my Spanish skills up a little bit. And when I listen to those podcasts more, I think about the church more. And I think about like wanting to go to church. Like I'm like, oh, I miss that part of church. Like, oh, I.
Mm-hmm. You do. You kind of miss every once in a while something comes up. You're like, oh, yeah, that. I didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
That. I liked that.
But it's only when I'm listening to like things like Spanish podcasts. Like, that's something when it's that, like my brain is like
in your brain where it's the chemical. Yeah, it's like familiar to your brain a billion percent. when you were talking about like picking out like which houses or whatever, when I think it was like the it was either the first or second weekend I was in the mission field, we had a zone conference, or maybe it was a state conference. Actually, I think it was a state conference. I'm gonna have to check. An Area 70 came and spoke, and I kid you not, words out of his mouth, quote, "We do not teach people in trailer parks," unquote.
I'm sorry to hear that, as I taught probably like thousands of people in trailer parks.
We literally had a member on date for baptism who was going to need to speak with this dude to get baptized.
Why would he say that? Like, there are members that live in trailer parks.
We got in the car, my companion and I got in the car with the senior couple, and
was the senior couple pissed?
So pissed.
Yeah, good. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing where it's
as a matter of fact, this is the very first time I was introduced to the shelf, because I met him.
Oh, really?
And he told me, oh my God, this is making me want to punch a baby in the face, which I would never do.
When I wrote the post on our Instagram, check it out if you haven't, about like the first thing that I put on my shelf.
Yes.
I was like, I had like a physical reaction for like the whole next day. Like, I was so irritable. Yep. Yeah. I was like, I work with kids and they were like, "Can we listen to Let It Go?" And I was like, "No." It's just so angry for no reason. But yeah.
He literally told me, he was like, "So you're a new convert?" He was like, "There's going to be things that you're going to learn, and your job is to put it up on the shelf." And then he further instructed me.
I'm a 4711.
To marry a man.
Oh, much deeper than scripture study. Who
knows everything that I have questions for. Because he will protect my shelf.
Interesting. Did he mean...
I need to look at my journals and figure out what the name of this guy is. Because he climbed the ladder a little bit.
Did he mean... marry someone who you have told all these issues to? Or did he mean marry someone who was like spiritually more knowledgeable than you?
I felt like that's what he was insinuating. Mm-hmm. Because he was talking to me about how, like, oh wow, like, you're a brand new convert, like, you just got out here, like, okay, you're gonna learn some things that aren't gonna seem right, you're gonna put them up on the shelf, and then your job is to go home and marry someone who will help you, like, protect all of those things.
Which, as if up on your shelf is, like, all these breakable vases of, like, church doctrine, and it's like, if it falls and it breaks, then, like...
Isn't that, like, a red flag, sir? Sir, you're dropping some red flags.
Also, wow, I cannot get over that trailer park thing. That's the kind of thing where... that man, someone somewhere along the way should have flagged a note in his records as like, don't give this man callings because he will say inappropriate things. Like, especially if, you know, you think about the global membership of the church, like the percentage of members who live not just in trailer parks, but in, I mean, there are members in like Cambodia who live in like huts on stilts. You know what I mean? Like, we don't teach people who live in trailer. Wow. I'm making that into a sticker. I would love to know who said that. Do you know who said that?
I
would love to make at some point in time a collection of, like, you know how people take like general conference quotes and they make them all cutesy?
I will find the name for you, because I'm pretty sure I have it written in my journals. And if I don't, I will ask my companion. And I'm like a new missionary. And she was like, that's not how it should be. That was ridiculous. That was insane. And
yeah,
we were both just like, wow. And because of this, because of him, who he is, we had to kind of jump through some loopholes to make our mission president be the one to come interview her. And I actually believe that we may have just been honest with President and said, this is what he said. This is her situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he should be the one to do the interview.
Yeah.
Because wow. There's no way. Especially, she was smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And she was pregnant.
And she lived in a trailer park.
Yep.
Wow, I really am dumbfounded by that. I can't believe that. I mean, I can.
Yeah, I'm pissed now. I totally forgot about that. Spirit of the law.
Yeah.
Teaching people in trailer parks. What the fuck? Hey, everyone. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We are going to cut the episode here because, of course, as usual, we went on for basically forever. Don't forget to hit that subscription button. Like the video. Make sure you're following us if you're listening on an audio-only platform. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the More Than Mormon podcast. If you made it this far, then you're definitely worthy to enter the Telestial Kingdom. Wait, is that the good one?